Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. The Port Hope Police Service Board and the Chief were asked to sharpen their pencils after an $8.4 million draft police budget was presented to Council recently. In this interview, Port Hope Police Chief Tim Farquharson digs into the details of the budget. He explains why 80% of the budget is related to salaries and benefits. Plus, another major chunk is set aside for mandated provincial requirements. Have a listen and see if you have any ideas where the police can cut costs. I'm so pleased to have with me today Port Hope Police Chief Tim Farquharson. Welcome to Consider This Northumberland.
Thanks, Robert. Great to be with you again.
What was the total ask from the Police Services Board in the draft 2026 police budget recently presented to Town Council?
Yeah, so you would look at a 5% increase in that had to be added on the 2025 budget, and on the 2026 budget, it would be 8.3. So over those 2 years, it's 13.2, I believe that adds up to.
So in the presentation, it talked about $8.4 million, and then 2 years ago, it was $6.7 million was the ask. What has changed, and are those figures correct?
Those would be approximately correct. It would be 13.2% increase since 2024. And what are the reasons? I mean, the CSPA is one of them, right? Community Safety Policing Act of 2024 came in April 2024, and we're still catching up on that. We have an increase of $43,000 alone in operations. And you have to look at, too, Robert, the fact that, and this is, you got to remember, this is the board's budget, right? Not the chief's.
I understand.
It's the police board, so it's important for everyone to understand under the act. It's the board's request. I'm just there to, show what we need operationally. And when you look at the increase in CSPA, mental health training, virtual reality equipment. Those pieces are huge for us, and it's a big increase. Now, you look at a ballistic shield for officers on the road, it's $10,000 for one of those shields increase. Those have to be had. The ballistic equipment. We had the carbines in the cruisers before, which saves having to do that, but you have the ammunition for the carbines. You have the carbines. You have the training. There's an increase in supervision with sergeants that are supposed to be direct supervisors now, right?
Before we get too deep into the weeds, because this is a pretty complex thing, and you've already demonstrated that by your answer, that there's a lot of moving parts here. And while the police board does approve the final budget, you're the guy that's behind the scenes saying this is what we need. So let's talk about that. Let's break that down. So what is the largest pressure on the budget this time around? What do you see as the biggest piece that's putting the most pressure on your ask?
Well, it's wages. 80% of any police budget, between 80 and 90, ours is more around 80%, is in salaries and benefits. So you're going against your comparators and what the comparators are in policing, and there'll be, five to seven comparators, direct comparators to Aylmer. We don't compare with the OPP. We don't compare with Toronto Police or Durham Police or York Police or any of the Big 12. We compare with midsize and smaller police services in the province, so that if you aren't in line with those, you'll be at an arbitration hearing. And we already know where the arbitration, they're going to be you're going to be paid comparable to your counterparts that are doing the same job in the province, right?
Is there a need for more officers? Is that part of it as well?
We're actually not asking for any officers. There's no increase in a civilian or police officers in this budget at all.
Now, you mentioned about comparators. Is there a collective agreement currently, or is there negotiations going on? What's the
We
look
are
like
in
on that front?
collective, we are in negotiations. So for 2025, it was the end of 2024. So we're working on another contract. And so hence the increase in 2025's budget that wasn't budgeted for at the time because we're in collective bargaining. We're still in collective bargaining now. We haven't settled, but we have an idea. So we have to, when we have an idea of where we're going to land for 2025 and what that increase will be, because it's retro, right? Retroactive. So we have to, it'll be for the start of the contract of January 1st, 2025. So we have to notify the municipality, look at this is where it's trending. You have to be prepared for this. We didn't have an increase in the budget at that time big enough to get our officers to that, their comparators. And so we're letting them know roughly where we're going to be, and hence the 5% increase of that 13.2 coming to 2025.
Are you close to an agreement?
I don't know if we're, I honestly don't know where we are, how close we are. There are certain things that are settled, a lot of things that are settled, and there's certain pieces that the board is concerned about that we have to keep bargaining.
So that leaves a question mark then in the 2026 budget as to how much that might
Correct.
impact.
They do have a rough estimate though, and they're adding that in. So we'll be much more accurate 2026 and 2027. So that we'll see a reflection in the 2027 budget that is much more accurate. If you look at the 5% now that we have to go back to 2025, to the average person that doesn't understand that, they're just looking, oh man, you're coming in at 13.2% above. No, in effect, we're coming in at 8% above 2025, but we have to add 5% to pay back 2025, if that makes sense. It's hard because the average person is saying, well, still on a tax levy, you know, when you add this all in, the 13, we're just looking at 13.2. Regardless of whether that's over 2 years, it still has to be paid, right? So we totally have an appreciation for that.
What about WSIB and
Yeah, WSAB is every police service is roughly, you know, around 20% is the average around the province of people that are off. And we're roughly around 10% right now. We actually have good news on the WSIB front. But you also have to realize is once people come back from WSIB, that's an increase in the budget, right? Because it goes off, it comes back onto our budget. So that's part of the challenge as well. And it's a good, put it this way, it's a good challenge to have, but it's still a budgetary challenge.
are there any debenture payments that you've got to make? Is that having an impact?
Yep, debenture payments for sure. That is, we basically pay the mortgage of the building, right? It was built, I believe, 2014, well before I was here. And we're paying that off ourselves. So that's not on tax levy. And that's, you know, it's an important piece to realize. And Jeff Gilmer was the first I ever heard board chair to bring up. And that he's the one that hired me. And Chair Gilmer at the time would always bring up this municipality for many years has not had any capital budgets added to the tax levy because where I was before in Peterborough, they didn't have the business screening reserve, but they do have that here. Cobourg has it. Brockville, there's about a handful of police services, about five in the province that I'm aware of, that have a business screening reserve account. And that's from the business end of the police service, which pays for the capital budget. All capital items do not go on the tax levy. They're paid for by this the revenue that comes in from this business at Port Hope, long before I was here.
One of the things that was mentioned in the presentation was the need for mental health support for staff. Has that have a impact on the bottom line that is separate from what we were talking about earlier about people who are on leave?
In the collective bargaining, it will, because if a police service, when I started the job, there was no money for psychiatric assessments. As the years went on, it went to 250, and I believe when I left Peterborough, for instance, it might have been around 500. You know, that I'm just giving an approximate. So some police services now have it unlimited. Others have it at $5,000, $10,000 per year. So those benefits part of the when you settle in collective bargaining, those benefits can go up, which does have an impact on the police service. But I believe what they were talking about there was around the MHART team, the mental health engagement and response team. And that's an officer and a nurse that's worked so well, a mental health nurse and addiction specialist that we actually need more of. We just haven't been successful in the grants. And that is something we're working hard on to be able to get a grant again off the tax levy. We have been very successful in a number of grants, and we give a big thanks to Joe Miller from the Police Accelerator Program, which is attached to Coburg Police. So that has been a huge help in our grant writing ability. So we've been very successful in the CSP local grant and the CSP provincial grant, which is a joint street crime unit with Coburg. We're already enmeshed with Coburg in a lot of the things that we do, our training and our criminal investigation branch. We work really well together informally, now under Section 14s of we call that a Section 14. It used to be called the JFO, Joint Forces Operation, but it's now Section 14 of the CSPA. Again, those are efficiencies and things that affect our budget that don't go on our budget because they're grants. So they were talking about the MHART team and that grant. Not only does it help proactively in the community answering calls, also going out and helping people with mental health that are marginalized or most vulnerable, help them navigate the system, but also they check on our officers in the station as well.
We have had a conversation about these Section 14 initiatives, and it would seem like a good time to kind of catch up on those because, as you say, they have an impact. Instead of your police force having to have its own criminal investigations or certain services, you're able to collaborate with others. And I know that there were talks going on the last time. So, can you bring us up to speed as to some of the details around this?
Yeah, and some of those are still in the pilot stage. We're just come to a conclusion of a pilot that we had with our computer forensic analyst. So that officer, we'll just use that as an example. That officer has been trained over the years. It's a specialty that I couldn't do. I would, if you're looking at a minimum of a year training just to get started in that position with ongoing training. And that's to go into mobile devices, computers, laptops. There's a lot of skill there, all the phone, the different platforms. Think of the different platforms for phones and the equipment used to go into that. So if you do a large-scale drug warrant, you're going to need to get certain information that's needed for the case. We've had cases before where I was previous policing of homicide, attempt homicide investigation, conspiracy to commit murder, and that was a intimate partner violence piece where we had to go into the seize the computer under a warrant and get into the computer. That's who does that, computer forensic analyst. So that job is very specific. We don't have enough to have it going full time, but between ourselves, Coburg, City of Kawartha Lakes, we do. So if we needed City of Kawartha Lakes ident unit before the OBP full ident team could get here, we would be able to use theirs. Coburg is getting another canine. So we'll be able to, Belleville has two, Peterborough has two. So you work on basically informal regional agreements, and you notify the board of those agreements, and that's Section 14. An emergency situation would be Section 19. But again, we are always looking for those efficiencies and things that make us more effective, partnerships.
Well, since we're speaking about Section 14, we have talked previously about the increased requirements and pressures from the provincial government on police. This is only one example. Is this playing an ongoing role in the budget?
Yeah, so at the beginning, we started delving into those. The CSPA is the act. So it used to be the PSA, Police Services Act of Ontario. The new act is called the Community Safety and Policing Act, to your point, CSPA. So a lot of those costs that I was talking about with ballistic shields, the excess training that we need in mental health, the VVR virtual reality equipment that police services will need to do that training. Those are all extra costs that are coming, and that is a direct result of the act. More supervision, direct supervision, all those pieces are the Section 14 are all under the CSPA.
So when we're talking, it sounds to me like in terms of wiggle room, there isn't a lot. Like you've got your salaries and your benefits and your negotiated settlements. That you just said was a massive chunk of what you've got to pay. Then you've got these provincial requirements that you have to meet one way or another, either through joint agreements or getting the material and the equipment yourselves. How much wiggle room do you really have when it comes down to writing a budget up?
Well, you just hit it right on, Robert. You're exactly 100% right. We have very little wiggle room when it's mainly your only wiggle room is in basically salaries and benefits. The rest of what we do is mainly mandated. There's no policing doesn't really have nice to haves. It's not there because the board, you got to remember, is only responsible for adequate and effective policing. They're not responsible to make us optimal. It's adequate and effective. What does adequate and effective look like? And that's the definition that the CSPA uses, that if you were ever at a hearing, are we adequate and effective? And we believe we are. We believe that we're adequate and effective to keep the community safe. Are we optimal? No. Does the board have to get us there? Nope, they don't. But we're definitely adequate and effective. And we'd know if we weren't.
You must lose a little bit of sleep at night on that one.
Well, where I lose the sleep on the weekend is, as you know, we're looking at the budget. And when you're 80% salaries and benefits, and you have all these other mandated things, how can you creatively think of ways to save the taxpayer, get a budget approved? Because as you know, it's common knowledge of and I totally respect and appreciate, council does have that ability to send that back. They've sent that back to the board and myself to find ways to be more efficient. And I thought about it all weekend. We've just got out of a meeting. I was almost late for this one because we were in another budget meeting, and I'll have one again tomorrow with the municipality on other creative ideas that we can have, and thinking outside of the box, so to speak, about how can we get this budget down even more.
All in this mix, I mean, the calls for service continue to rise. I mean, how is that impacting?
It definitely does, and we had a busy weekend. You saw the incident with the professional boosters, the organized criminals, allegedly, that were pilfering communities, like smaller communities. Those aren't homegrown Porto people. That's the GTA. That's crime from Toronto, from Oshawa. We've had criminals from Quebec, basically taking advantage of a small community. The fantastic thing is we had amazing police work on the weekend. And that was just one of many incidents that were happening on the weekend. It's busy, and it's getting busier for the team that's out there.
Well, you're estimating for the upcoming year more than 7,000 calls expected, which
Yeah,
is
correct.
a lot more than the year before, almost by 1,000.
And that's how it's been increasing over the last since COVID, right? And we're not the only ones up against this. The province is up against this. You've got the bail system that that we're working on in policing with C-75. You've got that whole challenge of repeat offenders and the same offenders getting out on bail, breaching bail, getting out again. It's a huge challenge for us. When you work on a drug project with people that are trafficking opioids that are killing people, and they're out before the officers are finished their reports, right? And we hear those stories all the time, and we're not immune to that. In Cobourg, Port Hope, and Northumberland, OPP as well.
There was a letter sent out by the Ontario Solicitor General saying that there would be an 11% increase in OPP fees. How is that impacting budget talks?
Well, it's always going to be on other people's, on councillors' minds and municipal staff, because yeah, so it's capped at 11%, I believe is what it would said. It's just that the OPP will not be more than 11%. That'll be the top. So it's going to be a discussion that for sure, like if they can be 11%, why can't you be at 11%, right? And that's going to be a discussion or below. Again, as I said to you, ours is over 2 years. So technically for 26, we are well under that, but we have to look at the impact that it is 13.2 for 2 years, and we've got to bring that down.
There is a suggestion in the presentation for politicians to consider extending Port Hope police service out to the rural areas to replace the OPP. Is this a good option to be considered, and what impact would it have on the Port Hope Police?
Again, it is an option, and so, but it would be up to the elected officials to decide if they want to explore that further and what that would look like. And so we would have to wait for them to approach us and say that we would like to explore that further. Yes, absolutely. Is it an option? It's an option.
Can Port Hope Police match or exceed the level of service at a similar or lower cost to taxpayers? In other words, if you guys were to go out there, would that be overall a better deal for the town rather than having the two forces?
And before I comment on that, because that would be something the board would comment on with council, so I won't comment on that at this point, but you will see something in the near future. You'll see more discussion around this in the next month.
So it's something that's being talked about at the very least, then. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, it's been talked about. Absolutely, it's been talked about. But that we again, I'm responsible for keeping Port Hope safe, right? That's my and the team. And basically, we will end up policing whatever geographical boundaries our elected officials decide. So if our elected officials feel that it is worth exploring that further, they will say to the board, bring a report forward. Would I say that we have been working on a report so that we wouldn't be caught flat-footed on it? Absolutely. We've done our due diligence here at the service. So we will wait and see what our counselors decide and how they feel they want to move forward.
You were asked by council, and when I say you, I mean the Police Services Board and yourself, were asked by council to go back to the drawing board. We've talked earlier in our conversation about how little room there is. Are there places, though, where fat can be trimmed?
I wouldn't say there's anywhere where fat could be trimmed. When we started this, we were over 19%. So with the board, we got it down to 13.2, and that's over the 2 years, right? Because of the collective bargaining. So there's no fat to be trimmed. There were some wants that we're putting off. We just can't do it under the current political climate, so to speak. So we understood that. So as I said, there's no positions. We're not asking for any positions. And I don't like using the term keep our lights on. I've heard that 100 times. But basically this keeps the police service going at its status quo at its current rate to have that 13.2 over the 2 years. But are there creative possible solutions that we can look at with the municipality? There are, and that's what we want to discuss tomorrow. And we kind of set up for that today, and we'll have further discussions with the appropriate staff tomorrow.
How do you decide when you ha say you're going to keep the lights on and keep going, but at the same time, we've watched municipal councils in the past, municipal budgets, where keep the tax increase so low that in fact long-term plans and projects get pushed off and things don't get done, and then 5 or 10 years down the road, everybody's going crazy because there's such a gap to be filled in. How do you rationalize that?
Totally, and that's what we're doing here. We're always keeping that in mind, and the councillors are up against it just like we are. They're elected officials trying to keep the taxes down. The average person's wages aren't going up as much as cost of living and many other things, and their grocery bills and their hydro and their oil and their natural gas and their propane. And you just can, any one of us can go into, we all go in the grocery store and we see what's happened over the last few years. Right, we all go to the gas pumps and we fill our truck up. 5 years ago, we can remember exactly where those costs were and several other costs. Everything else is going up at people's wages. And so when the taxes keep going up for the average person, it's that much more stress on them. So our elected officials are fantastic at balancing that out. And they're holding us accountable as well. And I totally respect and appreciate the fact that they've pushed this budget back to us. I totally understand that. And it's incumbent upon me, how do we keep this community safe where I know that we'll still be, there won't be a safety piece, but that we can find efficiencies. And there are going to be some areas. I'm hoping that we can, and that's my job, and I have to do the absolute best I can. And even as police chiefs, deputy chiefs, inspectors, and the police service, we get that we're expensive. We know that. We know how justice is expensive, right? Safety is expensive. And at the same time, we're keeping in mind we have to do our due diligence every day at being as efficient, effective, and economical as we possibly can.
Have any counselors contacted you directly or the police board directly to express their point of view or ask questions or get more information?
Yeah, we always communicate. We've had an open, frank conversations since I got here. And I don't think any of them find me intimidating in any way. We can hash out any conversation and have that discourse. We don't not everyone has to agree, but I mean, if like I said, if people disagree and you do it with dignity, honor, and respect, there's never a problem. I don't have any problem with people holding me to account. I'm accountable as anyone else. And we have conversations quite frequently. Absolutely.
Has anyone from the public contacted you or the police board to get information or clarity or to give comment?
Yes, yeah, people have. And sometimes they go through the FOI, and unfortunately, getting information, some of the information that people ask for, they aren't necessarily entitled to it. But if they contact me and we have a conversation, and WSIB is a perfect one. We have to be very careful because there are people in a small community that are off with occupational stress injuries that have accommodated into WSIB, right? PTSD and other OSIs, occupational stress injuries. So we are cognizant of that, and there are certain rights that they have under privacy for like exact reasons like why are they off? That's not something somebody's entitled to. Who's off? Not entitled to that. But when we can give generic terms that we are under what the provincial average are, we're down from when I started this job less than 3 years ago. We have people coming back to work, so there's a lot of positive news, and we're able to get that out. Budget concerns have no problem. Just spoke to a gentleman who had made comments on one of the local groups. It came back to me, some of the comments. I thought, well, let's reach out to the gentleman and have a discussion on the concerns. And we did. And it was a very fruitful discussion. And it was good both ways. Both people could see myself and that person, both sides of of things. But we were able to get the proper information out and showed that we cared by making that call and reaching out. Because I don't want anyone having misinformation. It's okay to make that judgment if you have all the information and you're still frustrated, totally get it. But if you're not given the right information in the first place and you make a opinion and that's gone public that can hurt the reputation of the police service, I'm always going to try and reach out. I did that in Peterborough and I do that here too.
Do you worry about the amount of misinformation and disinformation on social media when it comes to things like this? And you've talked about one of the ways that you combat it. Are there other things that you do to keep people properly informed, that people can feel that when there's stuff being thrown around, there's a place that they can go where they can get a straight answer and get at the facts?
Yeah, so one of the pieces that we want to do is expand our website. And I don't know what I believe it's around $35,000. Our website could be better and we'd be able to answer a lot of questions. People should be able to go and get a lot of information they can't necessarily now off the website. But I think that just having the relationships the officers do in the community, making sure our officers have all the right information, and we try and do that with weekly updates on pressing needs, information getting out to them. We have 2 to 3 times a week, we meet with all the managers. That's the sergeants and managers of the units, and keep them up to date. And they can ask any questions. So if our officers are all aligned on the messaging and can get that out, that helps a lot so that anyone can approach an officer and say, hey, I'd like to correct this. But they can also call me. I'm going to call you back. I might not be able to get you that moment, but I'm gonna get back to you. I'm gonna call every single person who ever calls me. So that information is available there as well. And following us on our Instagram, our social media. You can see everything we're doing and our officers are doing in the community. It's pretty impressive in Port Hope, the level of commitment our service has to the community and community agencies and the boards that we sit on, both in Cobourg and Port Hope.
In the end, you and the police board have no say in the final decision of council. What do you see as being a tipping point that will make the difference in the final outcome?
Well, I think it's when a council sends the budget back and asks you to find savings, I think it's incumbent upon us, our service, senior management, and the board to really take that seriously and do the absolute best we can. Even though we thought we had this down at the beginning, when you're put in this situation, it makes you regroup, refocus, again, meet with municipal staff to see if there's options of savings. So yeah, I believe that we will do our best. And when we go back to council, they'll know that we've done our best. And I think if they know that, that will goes a long way, right?
Chief Tim Farquharson, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Not a problem, Robert. It's always great. Always a pleasure speaking to you.
That was Police Chief Tim Farquharson. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.